he came to Pilate as he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. His disciples, verse 5, he said unto them, which should go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, 3 loaves, or a friend of mine in his journey before him? And he from within shall answer and say, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because of his importunity he will rise and give him. As men, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him be opened. Thus far God's inerrant word. Good to be able to start with the Word of God. We're going shortly the Holy Quran, the Book of Islam. We must deal with something of the darkness, but sure, first of all, with our friend, you got Jesus. He's got a friend, and who does he meet? Scripture passage. It's a wonderful commentary, you know, on prayer. Let him pray, and they felt their great lack, didn't they, the disciples? And so, Lord, teach us to pray. Taught his disciples. Don't we all feel that when it comes to prayer? Well, we thank God that we have the Holy Spirit who comes alongside and utters those groans, but even we can't quite, don't know how to pray as we ought, really, do we? We're entering into eternal things, aren't we, when we come to, and the requests that we make purely to God, his kingdom, and all the things that are outside our ability. We're talking about raising the dead, our trespasses and sins, and that poor sinners should come to the center. That the Lord Jesus makes, he has his basis of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, starts with a relation. But you see, it's mostly asking, which of you got a friend? A friend there? Someone you know is your friend, you see, to be saved is, oh God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And midnight, or any night, or all the night, or any time of the day, and he will hear. And to be importunate in this, that's the word, because my friend has come to me, and we're rather helpless, and how shall we raise the dead, and do so that those who, you see, have no time for the gospel, they hate the God, the Trinity, his death on the cross, they absolute our Muslim friends, or are they? See, that's made some people hate Muslims, you see. And nothing gets done. Are we of love for the unlovely, you see? And to get so with this work that God gives us, to it. Well, I won't go on with this particular task. This out of his way, you see, it's at night, isn't it? And then it's all lesson, and he's come to us. Well, this, you can look at it in detail. It's the story of 3 friends. You see them here. There's a friend to plead, and there's a friend who gives everything we need to give this. Applies in any kind of evangelism that is so important, nearest and dearest love. That we should be concerned, and it was the Lord's last word, isn't it, to go, and he's commissioned all power, so we don't go powerless, but with his power, and those who are lost. But the command is his, and it's us to obey. Well, now, actually, I'm here in Ireland for the European Missionary Fellowship, and ours is a renewed, because my time has been in Pakistan, my wife is Pakistani, totally to this work for the last 25 years, and now we're in England, but I'm sure quite right, in Welwyn in Hertfordshire, where the European has its headquarters. We belong to the church there, and the elders were very insistent that we stay with our children while they sweat, with themselves struggling with the system and with their own child. They are about college and getting married and this and that. You're going to have to be parents to your children. Nobody else can do that. And there are, you see, missionaries who are preaching high, wide and handsome out there, and their children are rotting at home. Many do that, you see, and I would agree. Well, we believe the Lord has it here, you see, to work amongst Muslims. and you need two, if not three, languages. Even here in England, a generation of people who were the first immigrants, and of course, well, in Luton, you see where we work, 20,000 working amongst them. Seems rather ridiculous in the world's sight, God's sight. And there's all these youngsters, masses of them, they have big friends, 14 children, and they all speak perfect Luton, love the English telly. Mum and Dad, their minds are up for videos every night, watching the Indian dancing girls, and so the division's right down the middle of the sitting rooms, and this is where we need to come in with the gospel. Now, not only in Luton and also in Bedford, in Wangard, we're working in three towns in actual fact, and it's really nearly two opportunities. But you see, if there are nearly 2 million Muslims, what about Europe? I mean, there's 1 million Muslims, North Africans, Algerians, perhaps then more millions in Germany, 4 millions in Yugoslavia, across the board, throughout Europe. And the object of Islam to take over first England, Europe, for Islam. Here is their manifesto. I've heard recently of the Muslim Parliament with their first meeting, fourth will meet in the town hall at Kensington. Dr. Kaleem Siddiqui will be heading it up. He's the pastor at the mosque in Manchester. Their manifestos will now take another step towards coming into being whole British Isles for Islam. That the Quran dominant, together with the Sharia, that is Islamic law, gets discarded as decadent, they consider, and reached by the Quran, which is the last and latest, and of course Muhammad is the apostle of Allah, who Christ, so they say. I trust you remember that Dr. Kaleem Siddiqui was the one who's a member of Salman Rushdie, following in the footsteps of the call on Muslims worldwide to rise up in fury, who caused worldwide Islam to fascinating, isn't it? One man in his little book, his novel, he read it, the satanic verses, it's dreams within dreams, a weird conglomeration of ideas, prizes for all this. He's the man who has caused Islam, and he's got to die, and I'm sure they'll get him one day. But, Salman Siddiqui himself ought to be in prison, because for him to require that Muslims everywhere seek to kill, that's incitement to acts, isn't it? And he is making a statement quite outside of the law. But Islam is above all law, you see, and Islam is something superior to all civils and governments and everything else. That's the superior attitude that, I think we should take this seriously, at least. And isn't this the very area we think here this evening about that? And in this area at all. But we can pray to the Lord of all the earth should act for us. The verse in Isaiah that when the enemy, the Spirit of the Lord, will lift up a standard against us. So we're to do our little thing, and you and going to pray, and everyone isn't going to go, everyone isn't called to this, but those that are, they find them praying, and even then it is rather ridiculous. We're there and get home at midnight, all tired and worn out, and all things, you see. And I tell you, I'm no theorist, I'm actually about it, I'm doing it. The things that we've been hearing and seeing, and the terrible times sometimes we have with withdrawal, they reject the Word of God. In general, they know that there is God and Jesus and Mary, that's the Trinity. They don't do it at all, incidentally. That's what you Christians call the Trinity. Jesus died on the cross. Never, they say, never would God die on the cross. And similarly, concerning the sonship, they say we'd rather die than believe that God has a son. it is the to associate another with God. The reason for it is this book, you see. Here it is. I've got to say it with a sort of something inside here. Quran is the word, and it means citation, for it was considered to be the great miracle. In their homes, it's usually wrapped in silk and kept high, you see, and you don't touch it except never hold it below the waist. I've seen it on a green cushion, see, greatly honored, and everyone's going to look. Well, much else, a lot, they kiss it a lot, and that kind of thing. They make writings from some verse and things that stick on their arms. You have it round here if you get headaches. Well, much else, but I better not mention. It's the sort of magic issue of this book. It's holy, the type holy. And so there's that, it's called to it. Well, now, in fact, it's smaller than the New Testament. And it's Arabic. Only the Arabic text is the translations, as there are here, and you can see, as we have in Arabic, the proper language of heaven, did you know, then in the Urdu or some other language, and English. 14 chapters, they're called surahs, some Muhammad by the angel Gabriel when he was in Mecca, and then Medina because of persecution, the Medina surah. Various chapters, weird sort of headings, the troops, and various names, Al-Imran, Al-Nisa, Mary, you see, long story about Mary, how the elder, Gabriel, he spoke to her and said she would have a worthy son, fig tree, and had her son there, and spoke immediately, I am the messenger of Allah, you see, and I come with the testament, etc. So that's the virgin birth, and some of it's there, and some of it one can use distorted. And of course you can read about Abraham and his son sacrificed, not on Mount Moriah, but of course it was in Mecca, all that kind of thing. So it's all a bit here and a bit there, and all distorted piggledy, no rhyme or reason, no cohesion, or really make out of it. Well, they of course say it's you Western people, we Muslim, we understand it perfectly, you see. All foregoing scripture. We have a lot of talks about with them. They have a nice word, wahi. Very interesting, you get down to some details like that with Muslims. It's good to consider what we're talking about. God, we believe it, don't we? It's another word, ilham, holy men of God who spoke, repeat as an ordinary man. A patriarch speaks and proclaims, thus says the Lord, you see, and it is through a person, very much affected by that person, altered by him, but not so with Quran. This totally so by any human agency. They use this word, wahi, it's like a dictation in the presence of Allah to Muhammad without any alteration. Well, I can only liken it to sure, I was a student, that's where I was converted, at engineering college students, you know what we're like. They do say the definition of a college, the notebook of the lecturer, to the notebook of the student, without either. And that I suggest, so different, isn't it, from the amazing way that God has revealed himself perfectly to us through men. You see, over hundreds of years, this is Muhammad. And of course, the use of Christ onto Muhammad nowadays when they talk to you. Because our Siddiqui has recently said, only yesterday, the object is to show to British people that Islam is a great treasure to be received. Well, batting over our eyes, because there's one verse in here which I think rather sums it up. You're quoting this in Surah 19, and it says, fight those who believe not in God last days, nor hold that forbidden which he hath forbidden, which hath been forbidden by Allah and his apostles, the religion of Islam, even if they are the Ahlul Kitab, and that means Christians and Jews. So, very interesting. It doesn't even say, and that's another way in which I think they distort the word they use is qatl here, and it says it is kill, and that's the whole point. When Islam has by legal means, voting, local elections, whatever it is, for this land, by legal means, then getting in control of the whole system and to institute the Sharia, the Islamic law. Then you'll have the cutting off of hands for thieves, public lashings for offences, stoning to death, rajam it's called, for. There's this sort of thing you see in Iran, which incidentally they just introduced it down at the present time. So a view of what Islam is, and to be very and to be on our knees for poor, benign, to hear the gospel. Now I don't believe that these here people are here by need. The Israelites, when they wrought on them, the Midianites and the Moabites and the Philistines, and weight of it all, and they cried out, you see, and we've in this generation we've despised his word, and he can't. It's not surprising that God then allows us to go our own way. I believe in this life, you might say, is to be allowed to go our own. So there is also the other, and that is that all these people are here. God has brought them for the other purpose, which is that here they're surrounded by churches, here Christians can visit them, here they can, we see it happening, you see, the youngsters, the second generation, there are arrangements being made for them, these girls, many we're dealing with who've run away, forced into marriages, and there's others who've been in college and have done these Islamic pressures upon them. Not all, mind you, there are some quite scary in actual fact, where they hate everything, hate the laws of this country. And I've been as a young Muslim, the new generation of fanatic microcosm, the general body, great opportunities for the gospel, you see, that out of every tribe, people, tongue, nation, there should be Jesus. Well, the Memorial Trust is a trust that we formed in connection with this in mind. It is a registered charity now, and seeking it's just cash, actually, not to be used for the training of young men and women who have full time, a life's work, to the students in Europe especially, and that's why then are all members of the European Missionary Fellowship. We ought to draw out people from Europe, because as you fellowship largely consists of those who come from Europe for training, great benefit. Perhaps just as well they don't have places in their own English language, they must learn it. And the vast body, there is wonderful literature, no country has more, to be studied to the benefit of ministry. The European Missionary Fellowship majors on by preaching, men and women are saved, by preaching churches are built up. Great preachers, that's right, isn't it? Well, I must say, we've been very blessed with Beppe Moreno, who was a year as assistant pastor, and he was so good, and God has given him such a lot. I rather envy the people at Alcatraz, where he's just did on Saturday. And our pastor from Welland was there. The mayor from the town at Alcatraz was also at the town hall, and a huge crowd. Well, praise God. And Beppe, a young man, and the Lord will use him, I'm sure. Well, now Raymond Lau, how his Latin version would be Raimundus. I don't know, in Spain, all right, because he's a well-known Catalan poet, and they call him Lully there. So he's got all these names. But this man lived in 1232. He was born, and was in a dissolute sort of fellow. Lecturers in his 30s, and beginning when that was the time, and they were thinking of cut their heads off, get the holy places back, the Catholic, and they killed Jews as well as Muslims, don't forget. Thought only of the sword of the Word of God, and was tied up in all the centers and universities to encourage and learn Arabic, study Islam, be well prepared to go wherever they might be. And it was why we remember that name, a memorial to this man, because, you know, a man for the first time to set up missions. He himself started to go to North Africa evangelizing, getting our carpet slippers on, getting comfy, aren't we, at that? And he was still doing this. His last missionary journey with great success was when he was the age of 81. The age of 84 in Budia, in Libya, he was stoned to death. Faithful unto death, you see, and he saw who would undertake this work would likewise be faithful, and we're seeking something impossible. Therefore we should pray, you see, possible in these days of easy believers, aren't we? Who's going to give themselves full time? For anything full time is sort of 5 years, with lots of leave in between, with most people these days, missions, you have it. That's the situation that there is. We cannot get people entirely, completely to work, to serve God. Master's business, it is not so. Might spend some time then just looking at some. There is something sort of fascinating about it, religion, and there are aspects to it. Well, now, I think what we'll do is we'll just look. Issue first of all, and then go to sort of the general scene. With an issue concerning under this, you see, and then we'll go to the reasons for it. Just women, and of course, when my wife is Pakistani, as I said, and I'm in the homes, you're going to meet the women, not me, but she. So it's arrangement, a husband and wife team. And when I look at the women, don't shake hands with them, I ignore them. They don't exist, or be like that. Because that would be very respectful, you see. You never look a woman in the eye, keep your eyes down. And, mostly, of course, they'll be in the back room, the kitchen, and so on. I'll be in the front room with all the men, and a man or two, and others come in, and you may have a lot of people, or just one. But there is a problem immediately, you see, in this sort of family relation standard first. I just wanted to give you some details. One of the few who sort of risen to... Haider Fatima Mabnisi, who's a Moroccan writer, examined the situation and she's her speaking, Muslim women, allowed to be the absolute masters of their home, but she has no choice in the matter, for the division is imposed by men, and the woman's fulfilled her allotted role in the Islamic society. Conceived by men and for men. Treat our women well, you see. We don't allow all these problems. I mean, I can think of one man, works with them, very proud, conceited, very friendly. We always have to eat and drink, so terribly nice, and he always wonders why I don't become a Muslim. And he says, my children. And says, I am their friend. They have no friends. Come home from school, be to anybody. Then they do their homework, 1 hour, tell straight to bed. And so what do they need friends for? I am their friend. There you are. That's how they look them if they want. I wonder how long that will last when the birds fly. We shall see in a different day. He is probably just deluding himself. Let him if he wants, as long as he can hear the gospel. Well, he's a very proud man. Thinking of his girls. Well, now, Islam views the unrestrained, dangerous challenge to Muslim men who are endeavoring to carry commands. The Muslim's obsession with chastity puts every woman in a position of great danger and tension. Therefore, the society has developed a battery of pressing the female. Its principal elements are keeping and rendering them helpless. For this reason, civilizations, it is the Islamic world which has the lowest rates. It's considered that attractiveness gives them a power over men, Allah's power. And see it all, can't their minds work? Well, now when you're going to deal with them, you need to appreciate the problem for them. And it's the gospel which is, the sun. You'll be free. It's this word of God. And begin its marvellous work, though it may be so, will surely bear fruit. She goes on that a woman is always trespassing, which she is a kind of foe. the Muslim order faces infidel without and the woman within. Now she has meant a male space, for this upsets other things. It's the man who has everything to lose: mind, self-determination, social pressure of life. Thus the veil is an expressibility of women outside the home. In effect, it's from male space, for the outdoors below. Islam, you see, is a man's religion. It's made little about women in Quran, mainly to do with things when they're divorced, and mostly they are, of course, a man and so on. A woman can never divorce a husband. It's only when she's divorced, well, you know the idea of the bride price. People think, why? So you pay a lot of money, gold and whatnot, but she's got something for that inevitable day when she's going to be divorced. Women don't get married again. They're second, and that's it. So they need something to live on, but they've got their dowry. There's the sort of picture, and not least of the incentives of the holy war, as many times they have, against that straight Satan across the Atlantic, Satan here or there. Saddam Hussein turned up this holy war, jihad, declared against them, that no holds are barred, and you can kill Muslims. And of course, to die on jihad is great, because you go straight to heaven, no questions asked. But, any fears concerning death? Did you know that yards in England and Ireland and anywhere, wherever it be, and they otherwise it's a home country, so they're not going to be in this defiled territory. Graveyards, that's fine, because they must be buried facing Mecca, you see. The lid, the top of the grave, under the ground, so that the body stay, and they sure believe in it, I can tell you, a great meal after death. To pray for the soul of the departed, and spend the floor here reading the Quran, finishing the Quran, they call it, all in one day, to help that soul across that divide. And you've got your good angel that sits on this shoulder, and the one who died sits on the shoulder. You may see them doing this sometimes, make the place clean for all your deeds. And on that day of accounting, then terrible question, who do you believe, you see, who is able to say the kalma, the creed, la ilaha illallah. That's the world's shortest creed, incidentally, because there is no God, no deed, and Muhammad is his apostle. That constitutes your Muslim. The doors are open for those who can say it. And then to heaven, where there are gardens of dish to wait upon their lords, flagons of wine, ripe fruits to have, cushions, green cushions and couches and so on. Well, it's in violation of Garden of Eden, you might say, place of fleshly lust, bidden here, wine and so on, so goes up fine up there. These maidens, well, they're huris, in actual fact, with eyes like jewels, you see. Well, I don't ask the rest. But then, idea of heaven, and the other places where those on the left hand will go to where you drink from, idea of hell. So, be careful when you talk to Muslims, they mean somewhere else. When you speak about sin, they mean something else. They mean something else. So, you've got to take it very steadily. Well, of course, the Holy Spirit's work in righteousness and judgment, isn't it? And if he begins, they begin. I must say, experience has shown that. Otherwise, you go on and on. And what a Muslim does not understand is the idea of that. And until we're properly of what the old Puritans called law work, that experience of one's utter sinfulness before a holy God. Need a saviour, do you? We know of our true objects and purpose in preaching the gospel, sinners who understand the holy God, which are totally impossible for every human being, the perfections which are in Christ, which are then to us freely, you might say, a substitution. Basically, you can see that Islam opposes Christianity, and its idea of Allah, which is really that it consumes. Allah is one, He is only one, there is none, He is totally out there. He's not concerned about human beings, except that you cringe before him. And in the Muslim mind about is fascinating this, you see. What you discover is you be careful. Because, oh, he's the great example of manhood, you see. Why, some say 23, but who could be like the Prophet? Allowed but four at any one time. A great example to us in everything. In many ways, they sort of deify him. But you can understand that, can't you? We need someone we can relate to, someone we can understand passions as we have, and who suffers in a sense. And so, the best they can do is to a poor man, Muhammad. But I mean, then the Savior who comes from heaven with all those things that we need, he takes upon us, on himself, our flesh, doesn't he, and all, and our needs, and that he affects. And that now there is a man, the God-man, the intercessor, the Lord Jesus, you see, he's there. So this is so thrilling, you see, now. And you begin to present just precept upon precept to the Muslim mind. Take weeks and weeks to do it, just a bit at a time, not too much, with indigestion, as it were. Not to be in a hurry, but I know I have to check my hurry, you know. We long to see people saved, therefore we rush at it. It's no good. God is so patient with us. Is he not? Well, we also, you see, them to know, to appreciate what they have to. Only 5:8 to lead men astray. Surah 7:179, we read that he is instituted expressly for torture in hell. Under this sort of iron bondage, only passive follows. So the another surah, Allah misleads whom he will, and whom he will, totally specious in his dealing, he's going to turn, but in the same time, at the same time, he's full and inevitable before anything occurs. So there's an awful fatalism which exists. And so in the end, sin and these minor peccadilloes, minor importance to Muslims, is just carrying out the five on the daily prayers, keeping a fast once a year, the pilgrimage to Mecca once in a lifetime, and so on. And the creed continuously, and that will get you in the mentality. That's why it's so important to have some understanding what racks their minds. Although every surah but one in the Quran begins Rahim al-Rahman, which means that he is the most natural fact, you don't see anything like that, not unkindness, that you get the Allah has just one main feeling towards his creature. He is ever more ready to punish than to reward, to make his created beings feel contemptible slaves, thus to acknowledge his superiority over them. So when you go to a Muslim official in an office, that the official does what happens, the psychological process in front of his desk, he thinks, how can I see you? You know why? But of course it's to show my power over you, you see. So you will cringe, I am an official, and you will cringe before me, and I will make power so I can make trouble for you, make life difficult for you, whatever it may be. And of course a little bit of cash will come around somewhere, you know, the man who sort of does the odd jobs, money gets parsley. But that's it, you see. I'm not here, it would be like that. It's a reflection of what they understand, begin to become more and more like the Savior in his lovely word. It begins to be the fragrance of Christ. So the vileness is alone, no one is with him. He's plainly tell you, anything you know about him is wrong. See, what a contrast to the gospel that we have. We should know God in the most intimate way. Between a husband and wife, isn't it? To know God whom he has sent. And this is the relationship between us and him. his people, his church and himself. That's why the Lord Jesus says, friend, and you go to him at midnight. See, do we know where? Is that our relationship with him? Well, that's the church and with the pastor and the flock to inculcate in it, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So, he's neither loved or lover. He has no concern, in a sense, anyone. He's without companion and barren for his created beings. That's the whole creation of Satan it is. I often bring the matter of the Trinity to them, you see. do you remember the Lord Jesus, who's very plain, as he said, and deemed that the Father, you loved me before the foundation, when there was no world, even before the mountains were brought forth. Chapter 8, we read of it. He was there, you see, rejoicing Trinity, the Godhead, and uniting feature, you might say, of it, which went between them. You loved me before the foundation of the world. So that when there was remarkable, isn't it? We have a God of love, and love doesn't focus of it. Someone to love, and what is unreturned? And we know it as a human relation, in the return of love is something hurtful, you see. Be a family relation, you know, children who are rebellious, and hurts, doesn't it? And husband and wife relationships where there's love on one side and not return. Wonderful things there are within the Godhead, and you might say. And to be exempted in the right way, you see, to these people who need and hearts opened to it all. Well, our time goes on. I think I've said hours and hours because it's an endless subject, and we do need to read it. Might like to know that there is, it's not terribly good in some respects, it's called Ishmael. I'll tell you all about Islam, its history, the sects of Islam, the Sunnis and the Wahhabis and the Alawis, and who the happened to them, and the Baha'is who are around these days, and Pope Islam, and much else of Islam. Quite a good book, Ishmael, My Brother. It's a mark of from your bookshop. I think you've got some superb books in the Christian bookshops. Ishmael, My Brother. And it's a compilation by Ann Cooper. Don't bother about it, it's pretty poor. Well, actually, I think it's originally producers, and some of their theology comes across, which and latch onto what is about the Islamic side, which is very good, a sort of general coverage of in depth, and Samuel Zwemer and people writing actually will take you into various areas, and the origin pulls the rug from under them, it's all copied, etc., etc. At all, it's all rubbish, all that. So if you want, and then the Muslim doctrine of God, you see, pulls by our doctrine of God, doesn't it? So all that is dealt with, and there are hundreds of books. They're not written by Muslims, they're written by Christians. Only that, no inquiry is allowed. No discussion to Islam, which is what Islam means, submission, usurp. So we need ourselves, and even if we're not going to do this work, I suggest help us to pray for those who will do it. I do pray then to this whole connection with the European Missionary Fellowship. We are ready for training in Hertfordshire. Evangelism is a very fine evangelistic theological thing to do, is add Islam to that, and we need people to study the Word of God, not just Islam. Well acquainted with the doctrines of grace of God, and as well as it's about Islam. So we look to the Lord, and so we yet don't see anybody yet coming out of Europe, no Europe like Raymond Love, see, nobody to do this work, and we want to see Europeans getting on with this work. European Missionary Fellowship works always that way. This is one missionary, it's a superb work, I consider. Well, I'm not blowing any trumpets, I'm just saying this is a new, very enamoured of the way they operate. And men and women as well, sent by their own churches, because and abilities which need to be polished up in order to be usable in Europe. So where are we now? We're in the early stages of it. So we certainly value your prayers. Thank you very much. Treatise on the way to take over. And he says that an organized struggle brings the existing society into an Islamic society based on the Sunnah, that is the Islamic law, and is a code of for entire life, supreme, especially in the socio-political spheres. This let me finish the sentence. Says it better here. That no hesitation in suggesting that despite it seeming the movement should realize the concept of total change and supremacy in Western society as its ultimate objective, its highest priority. So there's no time scale, but it's going ahead better than their wildest dreams in every area. The takeover process. Elite. In another place, he goes on to say, educationists, thinkers, to draw their attention to Islam and it's happening. So you get headmasters who have great influence, totally in favor of Islam. And it's us who are the troublemakers, me and my wife. We've been around and they really get very angry about us because that time already, and here you coming along trying to convert them. And they give complete blanche to Muslims, do everything they can to assist. Guru Murad has said that there'd be an elite structure, as it were, people who have authority, Muslims, yet will not hinder our advance. Exactly these headmasters at the various schools and what, and they're doing everything they can to aid and abet, and so they want. And it applies to the Rutenbara Council, marvelous mosque they built, land given free. And so, in one way or another, Ashton's on school boards, very efficient. And we meet them all, we go to their homes, have long talks with the Maldives as well, the ordinary people at every level. And ahead. Now they want to get people into Westminster, they have their own party, and after another, Bradford has a Muslim mayor, you see. One way or another to get control, except when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord. Well, can I just add for our encouragement, it's happening, you see. So when my spiritual is the Bank of Credit and Commerce, that's the way. The West, the whole business infrastructure, destroyed. See, what cheating and killing and method you use. Aga Hassan, the founder of the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, he's a great hero. A great hero. He confronted the West and has survived. Here, Aga Hassan Abdi has been whispering around a Muslim bomb. Now, he's been funding Iraq in the production of all this kind of thing. But then, all this. Bryce Waterhouse found out about the BCC openly. Thank God for a press which is free, so that all this can be. And what about the KIO investment office, who had billions to spend on the ISMAD into property, research and development? Ever heard of the St. Martin's property? Very nice in English. Doing development on the south bank of the Thames. Lovely buildings you may have seen them, Ludgate Circus, all that, all done by them, totally owned and funded from Kuwait. And much else, Kuwait investment in the Midland Bank. The Kuwait in TVAM. Kuwait has a huge volume and were forced by the DTI to back off because they just can't have that, you see. And they would reduce 9% or whatever it was. Take over, but as they think. And what this evening in high finance and the Bank of England with us, let them get on. We say, but we need to pray, don't we? Because that's what, so we wake up one morning and find them in charge, in control. Our local Asian newspaper shop, where you'll see in 10 years we'll be ruling Westminster. Just the ordinary Muslim, they think, proud, conceited, the big mouth, you see. Believes. As regards, for instance, the Kuwait investment, base would be trashed by their own people. So I don't know that, by the way, and it just happened in Kuwait and this and that. Very significant. God intervening for us, we don't mercy, isn't it? That's the Eritrean smashed, and they'll never, I think, get back to their original position. And it's their own people who did it. They found, when they went out in the morning, that all in the camp, every man sword against his brother. So Arabs have done of any sympathy with them, whatever. They prove themselves, you see, as beastly and vindictive and murderous as Saddam Hussein's crowd, Palestinians, and murdering and torturing them, just exactly Saddam Hussein's crowd did to them. Muslims do whatever they like. We've got to preach the gospel. Be careful, watch out, and whatnot. We've got to go to the world, and we've got to pray and get involved and ask the Lord to do his great work while we get on with our little work. Well, I was fascinated. I was preaching in Kells. Billy and I, we went to home, and we were told about Inkop, and there's a Muslim there, and his wife is English, and she's been right. They've got their own little sort of camp man, Musa. His name is means Moses, of course, and lots of he's surrounded by Christians. You see, they're all praying for him, and he's got problems, so they're praying for her also. You see, the little corner. The work of grace, Christian on with that, and they don't need to look anywhere else, they've got it right, they better get on with it, see the conversion of this dear man, Musa. Let him be afraid, who's come in the night, as it were, and I've got nothing to give him. God the Father, who we are to be all asking and never ceasing in our requests, and for all of these folk, that we should be able to minister the gospel to the hearers.
In a sense of seeing a whole new world and to looking up as well as all the false ideologies which are by Islam. So we will keep it in Europe itself. Is Albania by Islam?
Oh yes, well of course everything's been subjugated in Albania, and the word God, whether it's God or Allah, you ruled out. But now that there's some freedom, of course they've established mosques once again, and Christians are seeking to preach, and that comes in, and so the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're all there, and we need to be as well. So it's a freedom, as in all the Eastern Bloc countries, all the cults and the such people are also there. And then we thank God for the thirst of those other countries. So you can reckon that there's Albania, Czechoslovakia, and opening up, and much oppression over the years, yet God has had his remnant there, and who has survived all the oppressions of the God has his people everywhere. It's lovely to do.
Henry, would you lead us in prayer? Mr. Carnegie's, of course, I'll not give you a whole list. We're not here as regards the worldview that they're facing as Christians.
Once again, praise thy name, that we assess to thy throne grace through the mediatorship of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy servant here as he has recounted his own Muslim people. We pray, Lord, to give him, that you would indeed give him us alone from thee. That Jesus Christ is with him day by day in his ministry to these people who are lost and undone. And amidst all this news that we've been hearing about, we do indeed remember through thee today and forever that thou art sovereign, that thou knowest the end. And we thank thee, our Father, that we as a people, in thy mercy, through and the living God. We thank thee, our Father, for so great salvation, that in thy love thou didst indeed send thy Son into the world, such as us, who deserve nothing more than thy condemnation. But yet, Lord, thou didst indeed set thy love upon us, and call us out by new our knowledge in the things of Christ, whereby we were enabled to lay hope freely offered to us in the gospel. And so, our Father, we thank thee for the fruit we have in the Holy Spirit, We thank you, our Father, for upholding to thy gracious name. And we pray, Lord, that our need be in spirit and in truth. Our Father, we would remember each of our needs as individuals. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come to thee as one who is fixed, the one who has said, ask, and it shall be, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened. And Lord, we remember the prayer of King. You were indeed answering his prayer. And Lord, even before we seek thy face, thou art indeed there to listen and to answer. Thank so much for granted, and we do not come to thee as we ought, on our seeking thy face, seeking thy forgiveness, seeking thy grace and pardon for us as a people. So, our Father, we thank thee that we have heard of the ongoing work in the European Missionary Fellowship. And Lord, as he goes around the different churches and calls by the work that the Lord is doing. Our Father, we pray that we may remember not just here as a church, but in our own individual quiet time, you with him and strength now. We thank you, Lord, for thy ministry here amongst us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and freely worship thee in this place. Be with each one of us. And Lord, grant us each thy grace according to thy riches and glory. And for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.